Welcome back to Extra Innings, post-game show with Bill Lasky joining me. He was on our show earlier in the year talking about pitching, and I want to jump right in right with him right now. He's having a great second half of the year. Let's welcome Alex Cobb back to the show. Alex, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for joining me again. I want to go right into that Sunday game against Los Angeles, the last game of the homestand, the wind, the rain, the delays. How did that affect you going into the game, warming up, and not knowing the uncertainty of the weather?
Well, I think it's like everything. You learn how to deal with it as your career goes on, and that's one of the things that I was really spoiled with early in my career. I didn't have to deal with it in Tampa, but when I got to Baltimore, it seemed almost every start that I had a rain delay or of some sort. So I learned that you prepare for the start of the game to happen on time, because if not, you get caught off guard and it's tragic. But, so fortunately the game did start on time. The rain coming in and out was the only challenging part for that was the getting the grip of the ball, and the rosin bag was soaking wet. So I couldn't really form a grip of my secondary pitches. I could throw my fastball decently, but split and curveball were pretty tough to get a grip on. But once we got over that delay, 20-minute delay or so, I felt like the rain kind of subsided the rest of the night for me. But before that, it felt like every time I took the mound, it started raining, and every time they took defense, it cleared up. So
the rain got...
Yeah, we got through it. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, and you know what? A couple of those torrential rains were really coming down hard. You got out of it. Chris Taylor was up when you punched him out to end an inning. Why, let me just ask you, when you got into that rain delay, why didn't you change your jersey? Was it still fine? Because you sat in the dugout for that 20 minutes. Did that bother you at all?
Well, I didn't leave the dugout just because they said this could be a 2-minute thing, it could be a 5-minute thing, or it could be 20 minutes, and then the cell could hit us and we could be tarp in the field. So I wanted to, same reason you plan on the game starting on time, I just wanted to prepare like that. I was about to go back out there in a few minutes. So I stayed locked in, like it was almost like an in-between inning type of thing. I grazed over the inning before, I grazed over the scouting report of the guys that I could expect coming up, and I just kind of stayed in the mindset that the game was still being played, and I think it was the best route. I mean, yeah, I might have benefited from going inside and getting in a drier jersey on or something, but that was just the decision I'd made, and I think it worked out. The 20 minutes went by pretty quickly. It felt like I didn't even realize it was that long, but you know, it was just the decision I made at the time, and I'm happy with the way it went.
Alex Cobb joining me on Extra Innings. You talk about grip of the ball. Anytime it rains, it's so slick, and you said about the rosin was soaking wet, you couldn't use the rosin. Do you usually go more fastball grips? Because you had a nice two-seamer going, and you threw earlier in the game more curveballs than the split finger. Was that just because of the grip?
Yeah, it was it. So for the easiest pitch to grip was the fastball, and then curveball, and then the split was the hardest for me, because it would just literally split out of my hand, slip out of my hand. It was also, kind of the game plan. That was my fourth outing against them, and I had been pretty heavy fastball split, so I decided that game I needed to mix in the curveball a little bit more, and you just have to kind of change your approach, because
sure,
your approach gets out pretty quickly on teams, and especially when you face them four times, that they know a very good idea of what you're trying to do to them. So a little bit of both.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and you see that always in the NL West when you're pitching against these teams more than three times, four times, like you're talking, because they just start sitting on the split finger, and mm-hmm. then most of the time it goes out of the zone. Now, when you threw against Minnesota, man, they were swinging right over it. Those are the things right where the cat and mouse game happened. But I think your thought pattern of going against a team for so many times, you do have to change it up. The hard part mm-hmm. is, Alex, is when you face them at home and then the next start is at their place. That's the hardest time when you have to look at a team and an opponent. Now you're back into the NL West finishing out the season here. Same kind of approach when you're looking at Colorado, Arizona, and maybe San Diego. Are you going to take that same kind of approach?
Yeah, I mean, my next two outings are going to be back-to-back with Arizona. And I feel like I've faced them at least three or four times already. So same type of idea. You know, you're going to have to mix up what you've done in the past. You're going to have to rewatch games that you've thrown against them and, you know, have an idea of what their scouting report's going to be against you and try to not fall into that pattern as much. So, it'll be challenging. I think a fortunate thing for pitchers, at least, is next year, with the schedule change, we face every team. We won't have as many of these back-to-back series where I think we're in Colorado right now. We go to Arizona, and then we have Colorado at home and face Arizona at home. So we see the same two teams for a whole month almost. And that'll benefit the pitchers and not, you know, make it so difficult to form a game plan. But, for those next two starts, I'll have to get pretty creative.
Well, for Giants fans listening, you are signed for another year with the Giants. I'm sure a lot of fans love it. I know I do because I love to watch you compete. Let's just talk about these last five starts because you have been on point. 28 and a third innings. You've only given up 9 walks. You've really been spot on with filling the strike zone with good quality strikes. The pitch that I really love watching is that sinker to that outside corner to a righty or the sinker into a lefty. That is a real tough pitch to throw. I used to throw sinkers too. That is a really tough place to try to aim to throw. What has made you been so consistent on that pitch? Are you dwelling on that pitch at times? Do you kind of pinpoint it at a certain part off that plate?
Well, I think that it's a very high risk, high reward pitch. And I learned that early on in my career. So when I am doing it, the final thought that I have is to just drive it in. Don't get beat over the middle with it. Make sure you don't get lazy with the pitch, because when you start trying to aim it or throw it to the catcher rather than through the catcher, it definitely ends up middle of the plate and get hit very very far away. But I think fortunately for me, my sight line is just the target, and I'm throwing to the target, and I let the shape of the pitch do all the other work. And I think early in my minor league career, I threw it to a left-handed hitter, and they stepped out. It was a live BP, and they stepped out, and they said, that's a pitch I can never pull the trigger on because it looks like it's going to hit me. And so at that moment, I realized that it would be a real weapon for me, and I've really just tried to evolve that and strengthen that in my arsenal as my career has gone along. And this year and last year have probably been the pinnacle of those, of where that pitch has been at, and definitely been a weapon. I can sense that teams are not going to get beat on that a lot, and so they'll start looking out there, and that just frees up the inner half of the plate. So I have a whole new half of the plate to work with. So, you know, if you're a young pitcher out there, it's very valuable, very essential to learn how to throw on both sides of the plate, as you know.
Boy, great description on that pitch, too. And, of course, back in my day, Greg Maddux was the first one to try to throw that because, as you said, if it leaks and it comes over the plate, it's almost right down the middle. But you have been filling up the strike zone, not with that, but the split finger has just taken over. When you look at the last 15 starts ever since you came off the IL, the split finger has been a weapon for you, and you throw it at all different speeds, and the drop's coming out of it so nicely. Are you keeping the same grip with that pitch? Are you changing grip at all while you're throwing that?
I can tighten or loosen my grip a little bit on it, and if I tighten the grip, it'll stay more of that two-seam action, and it'll stay in the zone a little bit. It'll be a harder two-seam, but it'll stay in the zone a little bit, and if I loosen my grip a little bit, it'll get more of that biting action. I try not to throw it too much for a strike. A lot of times when you see me throw it for a strike, it's a mistake, but it serves a purpose. And so the main priority of that pitch is to disguise itself like it's going to be a strike and then get out of the zone. The main priority of the two-seam fastball is to look like a ball and end up in the zone. Mm-hmm. And then the curveball, I can do both with first pitch strikes. I'll make it look like a ball out of hand and then try to drop it in the zone for a strike. And then with two strikes, I'll try to make it stay in the zone as long as I can and then and then bite out of the zone. So, you know, each pitch has a shape and each shape has a purpose for it and a use for it throughout the course of the game and depending on what type of hitter you're.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Facing.
And really, Alex, when you look at all your starts, you've been really throwing three pitches. I've been watching how they divide it up, where you're throwing two seams, splits, and curveballs. And you've changed it in a course of games. With the preparation of the teams you're throwing, the curveball is not a big break, but it's a big enough break to get that 12-6 drop on it. Let me throw this one to you. Changing speed on the curveball at times?
Yeah, there's moments where I have a pretty good idea that type of hitter is taking is very patient first pitch. And will not typically swing at an off-speed pitch, first pitch. So when that's the case, I'll take a little bit off and just kind of dump it in the zone. It's not lazy. It's just a little bit it gives me a little bit more room for error with the pitch. If I think the hitter's going to be aggressive, I'll try to throw it a little bit harder, make it look like a fastball in the zone, and let it break out. But, you know, the velocity – I think is within 3 miles an hour. So it's not a huge drop off one way or the other, but there is a different mindset and, you know, the different points of execution for the pitch.
Sure. And I tell you what, when you're talking about filling up the strike zone, 136 strikeouts to 40 walks, and the walks really haven't come. Of course, the Dodger game, you had three walks, but you look at what the circumstances were, a lot of them were just missing. When you think about that, about your strikeouts to walk ratio, it's gotten better each year. Is this something you're working on with the consistency of getting ahead of hitters and then trying to put them away?
Yeah, I mean, I think the with the analytics world, we find the importance of you know, putting the ball on the ground, limiting your walks and increasing your strikeouts. And early in my career, it was really just I didn't put much emphasis on it. I didn't the way I came up in the minor leagues, they wanted you to work deep into the games. The philosophy was just different. You know, they wanted right. you to get outs in three pitches or less, and the strikeout was, you know, almost it was nice, but it was a lot of extra pitches used. Now they preach getting the strikeout and not giving up free passes, which is understandable. I kind of miss the old mindset of working deep into the games and having them put the ball weakly in play. But, you know, teams just, they have a different desire and what they want from their pitchers. And, you know, so you kind of got to have to adjust and try to find ways to pitch for the strikeout and limit the walk. So, you know, logically it makes sense, right? You know, don't sure put does. Any chance. Don't give it any chance. When you put the ball on the ground, somebody has to field it and somebody has to throw it across the diamond and has to beat the runner. So there's a lot more variable to just striking a guy out. But, you know, you try to do that, try to limit your pitches and work deep in the game. It's asking a lot. They have to be really sharp and on everything, but, you know, up for the challenge.
And then you start looking at pitch count, you start looking at your last, I say 15 starts, you're always in the 90s and you're always in the 60s, meaning you're throwing about 90 to 99 pitches and you're filling up the strike zone, 60 to 69 strikes, which is a great ratio. But you know what? They're not pushing you over 100 and they're trying not to. Is there a reason why they're not pushing you right now toward the end of the year, or is that just more or less what Alex Cobb's made of?
We haven't had any actual discussions about that or the reasoning behind it. I've noticed it as of late, I would feel like. And, you know, I'd be speculating, but I would just imagine where we're at in our season. You know, preserving health is probably priority going into the next season. And, you know, so maybe not trying to push the boundaries there. I've come off of the last 4 years. I think it was surgery where I missed a whole year, a COVID season, and then was in a six-man rotation last year with Ohtani. So pitched practically once a week and had my innings limited to under 100. And then finally getting back into a normal season range of innings this year. So maybe just out of a little bit of precaution, I think they might be doing that with some of the guys. But we haven't had a discussion on that.
Yeah, and I tell you what, it's working. You know, you're getting in that seventh inning. You're getting some great success. A couple outings in the beginning of the year. One was the lefty in too early or too much. And really, you take a couple starts out of this, and you're well under close to a two-pointer in run average. And just watching you from pitcher to pitcher, you have just been dialed in. I like the concentration level. You're just so spot on. And you know, the home run ball, I look at this also. You've given up 14 home runs going back to a couple of years and 228 in a third innings, and it's really catching corners and staying low in the zone, and then you elevate once in a while. Game plan pretty much the same like that every game?
Yeah, I mean, it's the we talk about the strikeouts and limiting walks, and the other part of my game is suppressing the launch angle. I don't want teams to get the ball in the air off me. And so when that's your goal and you're doing that successfully, you're going to limit the home runs with that. So really just trying to get the ball on the ground. And I think that if you do that, limit the walks, limit the hard hit rate, you're going to, over a course of a season, have success. And so, you know, early on when things weren't going my way, I knew that the ingredients were there. The overall numbers just weren't panning out, but they have been as of late. And I feel like whatever unfortunate circumstances were happening in early in the season, positive outcomes are happening for me more often than not later. So, you know, the old adage of the numbers will even out at the end has kind of been coming true.
Well, Alex, I predicted you were going to be a 20-game winner, and I still believe it. I still think you got stuff to do that. You need runs, of course, on the offensive side, and you need gloves to pick your defense up. So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm still going to predict it next year. You will be a 20-game winner, my friend.
I appreciate that. I remember you saying it feels like years ago when we had that conversation, but we're towards the end now. The season didn't go how we wanted, but, you know, I think everybody realizes when I look in the mirror, we got a lot of work to do to,
you have a sensational year. You've really done well ever since you came off the IL. I watch every start you do, and all I can tell you, my friend, great, successful year. Finish out the year strong, and we'll definitely stay in touch.
I appreciate that, Bill. Thank you very much.
Yep, that was Alex Cobb on Extra Innings. We'll have more coming up next on KNBR, the sports leader.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.